if you'd be kind enough to allow me a few minutes just to make some quick little plugs. So I have a company called Goshen Light Creations, and I've designed a Christmas card range, which is all scripture inspired. I got tired last year of going to try and find decent Christmas cards, and it was all Santa and reindeers, and I was like, ah, oh, Lord, heck, happy Xmas. Not even Christmas, they're taking Christ out of everything. So I've got some cards that I've designed, and I'd love you guys to, if you're interested, I can put your name down and I can get them out to you. There's a pack of 12 for $8.99. So they're all scripture inspired. I'll let you have a look. I'm just going to do a quick little, there's a few, because this is my sample pack. So there are some typos, which I found yesterday. I was very grateful for that. So the actual ones you order won't have anything like that, but it just gives you an idea of what I have. Please let me know if you'd like to order any cards. But yeah, so that's, yeah, one of my designs from the Christmas card. And the second plug that I want to mention. So I've just finished writing a book, which has just been published, called Beyond the Label. And it's a book that the Lord gave me, really, like quite probably one of the easiest things I've written, because the Lord deposited it. And it came really from having many friends over time that I've seen whose children are neurodiverse. And are struggling with different things and have really struggled to find how to navigate that with Christ-centered. There's a lot of things out there for non-Christians, but there's very little that's there for us as Christians, even how we speak over our children. How do you stay in faith and not in fear? So it's a real guide. The book has different prayers for different things. So if your child struggles with sleep or non-verbal, there's different prayers that you can be praying over your child during that whole process. So it's really a book to sort of equip us, because, you know, globally right now, it's 1 in 100 children, I believe, are now neurodiverse, whether it's autism or whatever it is. So this is really a God's biblical perspective and how to help you to navigate through that. It also has testimonies of those who God has used mightily and also healed. So it's a book that will be faithful. So I want to encourage you to share the book with friends, parents, anyone you know, even non-Christians. I have a section that discusses non-Christians, addresses it to them, that they can still be a guide that can help them to come to see what God's beautiful plan is for their children. So if you're interested, let me know. You can pre-order that when we're in the publication stage. I'll get that out to you. Okay, that's done. That was your Christmas, your Christian shopping channel moment. So we'll come back to the message. So today's message is titled Altars for Fire, Building Strength for the End Time Harvest. So as I was praying, I was asking the Lord, Lord, what is it that you have for Heartbeat? What message do you want Heartbeat to hear? And then I saw a picture and I saw Samson. And I saw Samson, and he was, you know, the part at the end when he was, you know, standing in the big temple, and he's blinded and he's basically asking God for strength. It says his hair began to grow back. And then he then prays this prayer in Judges 16, verse 28 to 30. Let's see if, no, it's not actually written out. Okay. And the prayer says, it says in Judges 16, 28, then Samson prayed to the Lord, Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more. Then Samson reached towards the two central pillars and he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple. And he killed many more when he died than when he lived. And I believe that the Lord is saying to Heartbeat, as we've come to this end times in the Lord, that Heartbeat Christian Center, you are going to bring in a harvest that is more than any other time that you've ever been around. This is going to be a great harvest. God's going to use you in power in the days ahead. And that's what the Lord is wanting to encourage you, that Heartbeat, your hair is growing back. The Lord is restoring your strength and your power so that you can have the capacity to strike at the enemy at the core and to push those central pillars. And I don't know if you know this, but Samson was from the tribe of Dan. And when Jacob was praying over his children, he prayed over Dan. And this prayer he did was fulfilled in Samson. And it says in Genesis 49, verse 16 to 17, if you do have your Bibles, guys, open them up or your phone, because I could be making it up. Just saying, okay? I'm prone to that. But it says, Dan shall be a serpent by the roadside that bites the horse's heel so that the rider falls backwards. Meaning that when you look at a horse and a snake, they're very different in stature. A horse can easily trample on a snake, But a snake, as small as it is, has the capacity to bring down a horse. And that's how the Lord is calling you as Heartbeat are. Like, don't look at your numbers. You may be few in numbers, but what God is preparing you for is mighty. Amen? Amen. So I want to just also really, like, I loved what Pastor John was saying earlier on about God wanting us to walk in power, to do outreach, to go to the Middle East. What I want to share with you today really is going to be the foundation that's going to enable you guys to really release the power of God to see the book of Acts, because that's what we're called to. What we see in the book of Acts is supposed to be our normal Christian life. It's not an extraordinary thing. Amen? And I just want to read to you quickly, a vision that David Yonggi Cho. Does anyone know who David Yonggi Cho is? Yeah, he had one of the biggest churches in Korea. I think 800,000 believers. And what he shares in this vision was the key to how his church grew, was the key to the power that they saw. So I want to read for you some of what he says in this vision that he had when he died. And he says this: I want to take you back to a moment when time stood still, when the veil that was between earth and heaven passed away. Yes, I died. I stepped out of my body, and in an instant, I was standing in the presence of the King of Glory. And let me tell you, when you come face to face with Jesus, everything changes. And then he spoke, not just with words that entered my ears, but with the truth that bypassed flesh and bone and went straight to the depths of my soul. He said, "My child, I have something to show you, something about the gift I have given my church, the gift of tongues." Now, many of us treat tongues like a spiritual badge, but Jesus showed me that it is so much more. It is a weapon, a key, a divine frequency that unlocks realms of power and that have been barely tapped. I saw an angel moving at the sounds of spirit-filled tongues, demons trembling, strongholds crumbling. I saw prayers in tongues weaving through the heavens like lightning, striking targets on earth with a precision no human mind could calculate. And then Jesus said, "This gift is not for show. It is not for pride. It is for war. It is for my glory." Oh, dear child, if only you knew the things that happened and what hangs in the balance when you open your mouth and let the Spirit pray through you. The enemy flees at the sound of heaven's tongues, languages, through a surrendered vessel. We've been playing in the shallows when God is calling us to depths. Tongues edify, yes, but that's just the beginning. Jesus took me by hand and said, "Now let me show you what this gift is truly meant to do." I saw a great war in the unseen realms, and there glistening like a sword forged in heaven was the gift of tongues. Every believer, every time a believer opened their mouths in faith, that sword flashed like a divine fire, cutting through darkness, breaking chains, releasing angels into battle. Praying in the unknown tongue hits their marks. Situations shifted, hearts awakened, miracles unfolded, all this because somebody yielded consistently to the Spirit and prayed beyond. Now, and prayed beyond the understanding. I saw an ordinary believer praying, kneeling in prayer, and they spoke in tongues. Their words came like fire, shooting up like lightning to the throne, then rushing back like a divine command, striking enemy strongholds with precision, demons scattered in terror, recognizing heaven's decrees. I saw a mother, so any of you right now, listen to this, is really, if you've got a child, listen to this. I saw a mother praying in tongues over her wayward child. Angelic reinforcements were being dispatched, with every utterance. I watched a businessman praying in his car. Tongues dismantled demonic assignments at his workplace. Every syllable, every hammer blow against the darkness. Then Jesus showed me that when we speak in tongues, we don't pray general prayers. We hit specific targets. That sickness, that bondage, that generational curse, that precision like no other human prayer can do. The Holy Spirit showed exactly what we must pray. And even when I'd seen it, even though we only seen a dark, you know, glimmy glass, the Lord knows the whole picture. Then the Lord said, finally, tell my people, the time for playing church is over, the Lord said. The hour is too late for counterfeit gifts and empty performances. I am calling my bride to walk in the authentic power of the Holy Spirit. The King is coming, and he's coming soon. And he's looking for a church armed with the real, raw, and authentic power of the Spirit. Amen? And that's really the core of the message. And today I want to show you how to begin to release that power. Not just praying in tongues as a routine, but building yourself up in a most holy faith, building a reserve that enables you to walk and do the things you saw in Acts 2. Because the reality is, every single one of us are called to that. And every single one of us have the same power that was in Christ in us. And I just want to share this because this was my personal experience. When the Lord began to teach me about these principles, I began to see my life change quite significantly. So in 2019, the Lord led me to a man called Kevin Zadai, Dr. Kevin Zadai, online. Began to listen to his YouTube clips. He died and went to heaven and met Jesus, and Jesus taught him quite a few things. But one of the things Jesus said to him was this. He said to him, the most important thing you can do is to learn to yield to the Spirit. And speaking in tongues is the best way to completely surrender. He encouraged people and said, not just speaking in tongues, but creating a pattern and a rhythm where you are praying and speaking in tongues in prolonged periods of time. You are building a capacity that will enable you to walk in power. So when I heard that, that really gripped me. Now, to be honest with you, at that point, he preaches a lot. He encourages people to build their stamina and to begin to pray up to an hour. Build your stamina, build your stamina. Now, at that point when I heard this, honestly, I hadn't prayed in tongues. I mean, I prayed in tongues, but no more than 5-10 minutes. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go to the gym, the Holy Spirit gym, and I'm going to begin to build my capacity. I remember setting my timer the first day for 5 minutes, because that's where I was at. So I put my timer 5 minutes, and I began to pray. I'm like, okay, oh, I was praying. Like, I've been praying for a long time. I look over, oh, it's 2 minutes. I was like, this is, oh my goodness me. So, and I was like, okay, so the next day, 5 minutes, I prayed. And then I started every 2 days, I added 10 minutes and I added 10 minutes. And eventually, by the time I got to a month, I was praying in the Spirit for an hour plus effortlessly because I began to build my capacity. But that is when things in my life began to shift. I want to share a story. During this time when I really began to expand my capacity, I would be praying and the Lord would download in me all these words of wisdom and knowledge. And I remember one time, there was a friend I hadn't seen from Nexus in over 15 years. And the Lord gave me a word of knowledge. And I was like, okay, I don't even know if they're still alive, but okay, Lord. So I looked for them in Facebook and I found them and I shared the word. And the word, they called, within 24 hours, they got in touch and said, oh my goodness me, that was the Lord, that was so spot on. And they were struggling in their marriage and they were about to split. And God, but God had a calling for that marriage. Now let's fast forward a few years now. They are now currently getting ready to plant a church in Singapore. God is using them powerfully in the church of over 1,000 people prophetically, right? Because of this. And this kept happening all the time to me. Then the Lord said, okay, Ngwari, I want you to start teaching others what I've been teaching you. So I gathered, I found 7 crazy friends and said, come on, guys, let's learn to build our capacity and see the Lord do great things. And they began to do the same thing, small numbers, 5 minutes, and increased. One of the ladies in the group, she ended up setting up her own group. And her own group that reached people coming in her group from Dubai, from India, right? And even till this day, they're still impacting lives. Another friend of mine in Copenhagen, in Denmark, she ended up stepping into ministry and leading doing quite a big work in Copenhagen. This is just a small thing. And Pastor and John was saying earlier on about us learning to walk in power, right? And sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. One time, I was out and we were doing outreach. And I remember the Lord highlighting a particular girl to me. And I looked at her and I began to minister to her. She was very closed. The Holy Spirit started giving me words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And I spoke them over her. And I could see her eyes tearing, but she was like kind of nonchalant. But I was like, okay. And I said to her, hey, why don't you just, I can take you for a cup of tea. Let me know if you're, you know, if you're free sometime. And then she said to me, okay. And then she kind of walked off. The next day she texted me and said, thank you so much for reaching to me yesterday. I tried to take my life a few times, and I tried to take my life that week. And the doctors were shocked that the amount of drugs she put in her body, that I didn't overdose. And I was planning to do it again. Thank you so much. I know that God is real. And fast forward, eventually, we kept on, I don't know what happened to all my things, but there's supposed to be a picture of her there. She got baptized a few months ago, filled with the Spirit, walking with God and doing powerful things. And that all happened because the Lord began to lead me to build my capacity. You see, most of us want power, but we're not willing to pay the price to walk in that anointing and that power. You know, we live in a time when everything is kind of easy and quick, but there is a yielding that the Lord wants. If we give him our lives fully, completely, he can use us in a real powerful way. And this is not talking about works, okay? There's nothing we can do to give us righteousness or works, but there's a labor that you labor to enter the rest. There's a labor that you do like mining so you can have the reserves in order for what God has put in us, because we all have this. We all have the capacity to lay hands on the sick. We all have the capacity to speak to the dead. We all have the capacity to see blind eyes open. From this age, I say to my kids all the time, you have the same Jesus I have. Mine is not more special than yours. You can do what mommy can do, right? Amen? We all have this capacity, but we have to be willing to do that. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of a guy called James Kawalia. He's Ugandan, from Uganda. He used to be a major high-ranking warlock. By the time he was 7 years old, he was in charge. He was the head in charge of all the principalities in Uganda. Okay, over 300 plus witches were under him at the age of seven. All right, he eventually got saved. Praise God and amen. Praise God. But what's really interesting about him is that because when the Lord restored him, the Lord said, "I want you now to go to the church and teach the church, and to close the gaps of how you were able to impact and destroy people's lives. I want you to teach your church how to walk in that power and to close those gaps." And he says this, I'm gonna share a bit of his testimony. He says, if a Christian prayer has a casual prayer life and I was put on assignment, it was very easy to attack them and to destroy their lives. But when I came up against a believer who'd pray, you know, in a prolonged period of time in the spirit, 70 minutes plus, the atmosphere would change. The curses that I tried to put upon them, I would see them begin to be reversed back. And he said, and I also even begin to see those that had sent like witches die because that curse was reversed, because they had built a capacity with the Holy Spirit and they walked in power, right? And he said, and he concludes and he says this, when you establish a consistent cycle of prayer, you break the cycle of the enemy. And this is why it's important as we're building our capacity and our stamina. It's like when you go to the gym, you know, you may be able to to pick 5 kgs, 1 kg, but you continue to build that muscle. You can carry heavier and heavier things and you become stronger and stronger. It's exactly the same thing in the spiritual realm. Amen. And that's why Paul said, "I wish you all prayed as much as I did in tongues." And look at how Paul moved, you know. And one of the things that happened to me when I began to really pray in the spirit is words of like revelation. I'd open the Bible, revelation knowledge would come out very quickly, very quickly. Because the Lord was, everything gets activated around you. So I want to really encourage us to begin to do that. And as you continue to pray, what you are doing is, as you, every word, every tongue that you're speaking, it's not nonsense. You are building layer by layer, brick by brick, an altar that has fire that never goes out. I don't know if anyone knows the revivalist Leonard Ravenhill, but he said, "The altar is not a place for carelessness. It is the meeting place between the Holy Spirit and the surrendered vessel." Amen? And we are, as John said earlier, we are the temple of God. Amen? We are the temple of God. And I think it's really important just to take a few minutes to talk about altars, right? So we see in the Bible that an altar is a meeting place between the spiritual realm and the earthly realm. It's a platform that gives legal access to the spiritual realm to operate here on earth, okay? And in the Old Testament, we see this all the time. So we see this all the time in the Old Testament. Oh, that's Mal, yeah, who gave her life to the Lord, the one that I was talking about earlier. So we see, for example, Noah in Genesis 8, verse 20. Noah sets up an altar and a covenant's made. Abraham set an altar up and a covenant's made. An altar and a covenant. And then we see as well with Samuel at the battle of Ebenezer. He sets an altar up and then and power is released. So these are not just rituals. Each altar is a gateway for God's presence and power to be released on earth. In the New Testament, Jesus, he's our high priest. He carried his own blood to the heavenly altar. Amen? And we no longer use stones and all that kind of stuff. We are now the altar of God, right? We are now his temple. And where there is an altar, there is power. And where there is no altar, there's no power. So today we see we are the temple of God, right? It says in Romans 12, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before the Lord. So as we are now praying and giving ourselves, nothing is harder than praying. Why? Because you have to fully yield spirit, soul, and body to the Lord. It's easy to preach. It's easy to do other things, to go say hello, to do, you know, works of acts. But to choose to put yourself in full surrender to the Lord. If you really want to see a health, what your spiritual life looks like, look at your prayer life. And that's not a condemnation, okay? A prayer life is the mark of how healthy your spiritual life is. Because in prayer, you fully surrender. And then it gives you the capacity when the Lord asks you to yield, you're able to do it. It gives you the capacity when the Lord says, lay hands, you see things manifest, you see things happen. Amen? So, you know, a man or woman who does not have a prayer life, does not have an altar that will have power on it, just like Elijah. Elijah repaired the altar, the fire came down. Amen? And God is calling us in the times we're in right now to come back to a place of power. When you look at the kingdom of darkness, it shows off its power. We see witchcraft now rampant. We see so much stuff that is everywhere. The enemy is not hiding his power anymore. But back in the day, there's some things that were shameful. People did. Now it's everywhere. So, and the young kids, people are hungry for the power of God. Do you know that one of the fastest growing religions is Wicca in America? Well, obviously America. it's Wicca. Right? And for those of you who don't know what Wicca is worshipping nature. It's like white witch magic, okay? So because of like the books, like that, a lot of books have made children fascinated and have seen the power of the demonic. They go to seances. They're now openly pursuing these things because people are desperate for a tangible reality of the supernatural. That's a counterfeit, and a counterfeit that will destroy their lives. We have the right, we have the true power, a pure power that can set the people and set the captives free. And God is asking each of us today, will you be willing to take this challenge to begin to go to the spiritual gym and begin to work your capacity, begin to grow in this area? Because that neighbor right now that's going through something, the Lord can tell you in an instant, this is what's happening. Go lay hands on them. Go do this. It's so much easier to yield to the Lord. Amen. And I just want to also just share another testimony just about how, as I began to press and yield to the Lord, really, how my life began to change. And about a few months after I began to really pray in the Spirit and, stretch my capacity and began to really be open to the spiritual realm, I remember one day I was on my knees praying. And as I was praying, the atmosphere just shifted. And Jesus walked into the room, and he was wearing white robe. He had like the head covering, what's it called? Black and white, I'm sorry, blue and white head covering thing with tassels. And he had some brown sandals on. And he was like, light was surrounding him as he walked. Light came towards you. And he stepped towards me, and there was like a wave of holiness that just hit me, and that preceded him with every step as he came. And I always thought that when I would meet Jesus, I'd be like, Jesus! And I'd run to him and jump on him and, you know, be me. But that's not what happened. As he walked in and these waves of holiness were hitting me, I became undone. I became like Peter. I was like, get away from me, Lord. I'm so unclean. Because when you're in the presence of pure holiness, you're so aware of yourself. And I began to cry and say, move back. And I started moving back and say, Lord, get away from me. And he kept coming towards me. Lord, move. Lord, no, no. He kept coming back to me. And with every step as he was coming in, it was like his wholeness and his love just infused the core of me. And that marked my life. I never knew or understood him. I didn't know what a reverence of him was at that point in my life until that moment. I did not understand what a holy God would look like or be like and how that love was so pure. And these experiences, I mean, that's the only time I've seen Jesus in that capacity. But after that, so many other things were happening. So many things were happening. And as I would spend more time yielding to him, my life really changed. And I remember about 5 months ago, I woke up about 3 a.m. and I had an unease in my spirit. And I was like, oh, what's going on? And I realized that I was feeling uneasy about Judah. And I just began to pray. I began to pray in the spirit. I said, okay, Lord, Lord, you've taught me enough that when I have that unction, I pray until I have a release. I began to pray. I probably prayed until about 6 a.m. in the spirit, just praying. We got up. The boys were going to school. Judah was going to an open day for the school we're considering. So off we went. And I went to pick Judah up after school. And him and Levi were cycling on their bikes. And they were on the pathway. So the pathway suddenly shifted and went into like a horseshoe shape, like that. And then I said to Levi, make sure if the pathway is narrow, get off the pathway, just get off your bike and just walk along the side. And Judah was kind of like distracted with his friend who was kind of ahead of him. So he goes over, he goes across the road, and the road was very sharp and went straight onto the road. It didn't go back onto the pathway. And so then Judah was like, looked, but he didn't see there's some cars there, so he didn't see. He looked over and cycles over and a car came and hit him straight. And I was 20 seconds behind maybe. So, you know, I'm hearing screeching and then I hear boom and I hear screaming, right? And I'm just like I was peaceful, but I was like, Lord. I get there, he's on the floor, he's screaming, he's crying, the bike's been thrown there. This man picks up his bike, helps me get Judah off the road. We call 999, as useless as that is. Everybody didn't turn up, but we're just lying there. You know, eventually got to the hospital and they scanned him and checked him over. And not one bone was broken. He didn't have any break his skin, any blood was shed. He didn't bang his head, nothing. And when Judah was telling me his story, he said, Mommy, I was really scared because I felt when the car hit me, I felt myself go under the wheels. And then suddenly something flipped me over and he went over the bonnet. He landed and he had where he got hit, where the car, he got hit on his bike, there was like a big bruising, you know, he had to have, I don't know what it was called, but he bruised the side of his ligaments, the ligament damage. But I was just like, God is so good. Had I not yielded, had I not trained myself to yield to the Holy Spirit, we might be having a different conversation right now. So my heart is just to encourage us today. Please, you don't know whose life as you're praying. You're interceding for someone that might be some other part of the world. And God may give you what they need to shift their lives. You don't know whose life is going to be impacted. I could sit here and tell you testimony after testimony. Honestly, I'll tell you one last one. And then I'll stop because I know I'll probably be done. But there was one day I was walking home. And there was a girl I saw get out of a car across the road. And the Lord said, I want you to go talk to her. I'm like, Lord, I just want to go home. Seriously, like, seriously, it's 9 o'clock. I want to go home, you know? All right, Lord. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So I crossed over and I said, hi, are you okay? How are you doing? She said, I'm fine. I said, oh, what are you up to? And she's like, oh, I'm just going home. I said, oh, the Lord said, stay with her. I said, okay, so where are you off to? So I'm going home. I said, oh, I'll walk you home. She's it's okay. No, I'm going. I said, oh, it's fine. She looked really young. She looked like she's like 16, 14, right? She looked quite young. She should, you know, and I started walking with her and talking to her, and she was like trying to get rid of me, but the Lord said stay with her, so I was stalking her. So, I was like, all right, Lord, I'm looking stupid here, you know, but okay, hi, you know, making chat, following her. And then I said, Lord, what is this about? And then the Lord started giving me like words of wisdom. I started acknowledging. I said, okay, so have you thought about God? Do you believe in God? And she's like, actually, I've been talking to the universe and that stuff.
you know, and I was wondering if you're the universe, who's real God, show me who you are, you know. And I come, and I started giving a word after word after word, to the point where she got freaked out. She thought that her friends were pranking her. They'd sent me and given me information about her because I was that accurate, right? And I said to her, look, just take my number. I live just down there. Come, I'll write my number down because my phone had run out of battery. And she said she agreed to come in. Sucker. She came into my house. Yeah, okay. So she comes into the house. And I write my number down. I began to talk to the Lord. I began to minister to her. Fast forward, about 2 a.m, she ends up giving her life to God. She's a Muslim girl, comes from a Muslim family. Family had broken up, and I'm not going to go into details. But God showed up. She began to start going, oh my goodness me, I can see fire. I can see a man there with fire. I can see this blood and this fire. I can see a man with fire. God just got her and she gave her life to the Lord. And I can't go into details of what she'd come out of. So this is my everyday. And I'm not saying this to brag on me or to say that I'm special, because I'm not. This is my everyday. It should be your everyday. And that my charge to you today, to encourage you, is build your capacity. That God has many things, many people's lives to touch. You're destined to change destinies. And if each and every single one of you in this church today, Jesus only had 12. He only had 12 yielded vessels. Just 12. Just 12. What could we do in this room with us in here today? So I just want to take this opportunity before I finish to say this. Anybody who doesn't know the Lord, I think you all do. Because this gift, to get this gift, Levi, to get this gift, you need to know Jesus. But if you haven't been baptized in tongues yet and you haven't got this gift, I would love to pray with you. Please come, I'll pray for you. And if you have the gift, but you've been stagnant and you need a bit of a reboot, please come. I'd love to pray for you because the Lord wants to commission and let your lives change. And if you take what I'm saying to you today to heart, when we meet next, you'll be giving me similar stories in your own way. Amen. Does anybody, Hannah, do you want to, if anybody wants to come up for prayer, if anyone needs healing for anything, please come. I'd like to pray for you as well. Amen.